Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And Lafitte Pinkai joins us. Welcome back, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. How did you look at the history-making event on Saturday? As the way it played out, because the great trainers there across the board, whether it's Pletcher, whether it's Baffert, but you know her horse ends up winning.
Inspiring, I found it really inspiring, and in this game in which you seem to have a monopoly with so many of the top horses by a handful of trainers, and understandably so, when you have the Todd Pletchers and the Bob Bafferts and the Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen, they are the best at what they do. They're going to be able to maximize these horses' potentials. If you're a horse owner, you want your horse in their hands, but that doesn't mean they're the only ones who can train horses to compete at the highest level, as we learned over the course of the weekend. And just a story that the mainstream that may only pay attention to three horse races a year has really gravitated towards and setting the table for a really exciting summer at Saratoga, where I'm assuming we will have a chance to see the Belmont Stakes winner, hopefully in the Jim Danny and eventually the Travers.
Which would be, and the meet at Saratoga is always phenomenal. As Red Smith said, you don't feel like you're in New York, we're in Saratoga. And he's right about that. Javier Castellano rode Arcangelo, which was in the middle of, it broke from three, but it was in the middle of the betting pack at 8-1 at one point. What kind of job did Castellano do aboard?
It's an amazing story. Here's a guy who's in the Hall of Fame, and he's won so many of the biggest races in the country, and yet he was a combined, what, like 0-29 or whatever it was in the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont, and then bang, he wins the Derby with Mage, and then finally gets that first Belmont Stakes win in his 15th try in his backyard. He's been in New York so many times. Jenna had said something to Maggie during the course of the broadcast about, you know, if horses can communicate, what is Arcangelo saying before the Belmont? And she told Maggie, he's saying, get out of my way. And at the top of the stretch with National Treasure in front of him, he says, get out of my way. And he's able to find that crease along the inside. Javier Castellano may have deked Johnny Velasquez a little bit. I'm not sure Velasquez knew Castellano was there right on his heels, kind of creeping in behind. For Castellano, I thought the difference in the race was saving that ground while you watch the rest of the field, you know, losing ground, trying to gather their momentum, but towards the outside, Forte, the champion and runner-up in the eventual second place finish, it took a long time for him to find his best ride. Castellano saving the real estate on the inside, and then Arcangelo showed some acceleration, and he created that cushion and that separation he was able to create between he and the closers, I think proved to be the difference in the end. Masterful ride.
Yeah, and let's face it, Johnny V is one of the best in the business, who was aboard National Treasure and, of course, won the Preakness this time through. Where do you look at it? The sport ended up with three different winners of the three Triple Crown races, but it's been the off-the-track stuff that has happened at Santa Anita, Churchill Downs, and now at Belmont. Where do you see the state of the sport today, Lafitte?
It's a heightened level of scrutiny in that what may have been acceptable in the past is no longer acceptable. And the sport is doing everything it possibly can with HISA now in place, and where you're seeing a consistent national, consistent rules in terms of medications that need to be followed. One of the biggest issues over the years has been just a lack of awareness or understanding from jurisdiction to jurisdiction about, okay, well, this is legal over here, this medication is legal in this state, but this many hours before the race, or to this amount of that particular medication. There was so much confusion, and it just doesn't make sense. You can't have, you know, from state to state, whether you're driving on a freeway, and I'm in California, and I can go 55 here, but in the next state over in Nevada, if the speed limit was 35, and I didn't know that, and I'm doing 60 now, I'm in the can for reckless driving. there's been so much lack of understanding, and now I think that there is federal oversight. It's going to be perhaps a clumsy process at first, trying to get everyone on the same page, but you're seeing steps being taken in order for the horses and the jockeys to make things as safe as possible. You're never getting to zero. There are going to be injuries. There are going to be catastrophic injuries. That's going to happen, but you're never going to get to zero. But the statistics are out, and they will show you right now, specifically right here in California right now, that the racing has never been safer. That doesn't make it okay. It's never going to be okay to see a horse fall down. It's never going to be okay to see a horse expire on the racetrack. But as somebody who is in the sport, am I biased? Yeah, probably. Having said that, I've never felt better about the steps that are being taken in the right direction to make things as safe as possible, understanding still there are going to be accidents.
Well, but people have to realize there are hundreds of races a day across the country. And I realize that, yes, something tragic happens. That really, I mean, it's dramatic and it hurts. But I think it's important, the point you made, Lafitte, that, look, it's never been safer, because I think people have to realize how many races are actually run in a day across the country.
Yeah, and that's not conjecture. But the stats bear out in terms of what you're seeing today versus 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and there are still measures being taken. There's still conversations about whether or not a shift to synthetic track. Now, I don't know that that's the right answer necessarily, but the point that it's a conversation, that extreme measures are being taken in order to make this. Because we realize that if you continue down the same path, eventually, you know, there's going to be a steep price to pay as far as the sport continuing. There are those out there that would like to see the end of racing, that call for the end of racing, that because of horses, tragically, that you lose from time to time. But as I just mentioned, between with the federal oversight, with HISA being involved, and the steps that are now being taken, I am confident that we're headed in the right direction. But at the same time, it's hard to make that case for someone who maybe has never been to the racetrack before, and they're there and they're having a good time and they're having a lot of fun and they've seen a few races, and then watch an accident and see a horse go down. And sadly, if it happens to me, a catastrophic breakdown. This conversation, it rings hollow. I get that. It's never. I don't care how many times I've seen it. It's jarring, and it's unfortunately a situation that, yeah, you're never going to get to zero. But we are moving in the right direction.
Obviously, Dick Girardi's my basketball broadcast partner, so we talk
a lot of racing.
Huh?
He's the best.
Isn't he? He's the greatest, okay? And so we talk a lot of horse racing. What is it about the sport where you can't wait to get to the track or to get on a broadcast to talk about a race?
Yeah, the big day. The big day vibe, the energy, the feeding off of, for example, on Saturday, the 48,000 at Belmont Park. I don't bet very often. I fell in love watching my father ride with the sport. I fell in love with watching him ride, and I fell in love with the game covering the sport as a sport. The Breeders' Cup, the Triple Crown, and to me there's nothing more exciting than waking up the day of a big race and walking into the racetrack, feeling that energy, and as the day continues to progress, you look around and you realize how many people there. Like, it's kind of quiet the first couple of the races, Belmont Stakes Day. Then you get to the last, you know, to the Met Mile and the Manhattan, and the Belmont is next. You look around, and it is absolutely jam-packed. Mm. It's an intense New York crowd. They sing New York, New York. It is absolutely electric, whether it's, you know, a Triple Crown or not. Of course, it's different when there's an American Pharoah becoming the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, or watching Justify become a Triple Crown winner. But those are the days that remind you, you know, what the sport is supposed to be like, what it's like on the biggest of days. And when you have a story like Arcangelo, and watching the celebration, the genuine excitement for Javier Castellano, a moment he's been waiting and waiting for, and the instant reaction from Jenna Antonucci, she was absolutely priceless.
Your dad obviously was legendary, but who do you gravitate more toward now? Do you gravitate toward trying to get some information from riders, or do you try to get it from the trainers?
It really depends the trainers, I think that when it comes to a strategy, when it comes to trying, you need that first-hand explanation. It's one thing to have a bunch of analysts suggest why they think, for example, maybe a horse didn't run very well in their last race. That's their experts, their theory, their hypothesis. Very different having a trainer explain things. You know, well, hey, you know, maybe that horse threw a chute. You didn't know about that. You know, maybe it was attempted. There's so many different reasons, and that's what makes it tricky, because we can't talk to the athlete. You can talk to a basketball player, and he can tell you why he shot 2 for 29 the night before, right? With a horse, right. That's where you really need the trainer and that firsthand information. And for the riders, you know, you always want to ask them strategy. They don't always want to divulge that. They don't want to let the other riders know what they're going to go out there and do. But that's what you really want in a broadcast, that firsthand information and something that the viewer doesn't have access to himself.
Well, you're brilliant at conveying it, and I always love talking to you about it, and I appreciate the time you always give us. Thanks, Lafitte. Appreciate you.
Anytime. Thanks so much. Have a great one.